welcome into another Saturday on Woods and Water, South Carolina. Last week I hinted, I recorded last week, and I hinted that I might be making a trip to Florida, and yeah, we drove to Florida Friday night, out on the water most day Saturday, Sunday, towed back Sunday night, got back at 1:30, and one of the main reasons we went down is just to see what MLF was all about. Major League Fishing, Bass Pro Tour, inaugural event, and wouldn't you know it, a very good friend of this radio show fished that event, did very well in that event, and is joining us today, Anthony Gagliardi. Man, appreciate you taking time to be on Woods and Water, South Carolina.
Always a pleasure. Happy to be here.
Yeah. Great first event for you.
Yeah, I think, I really couldn't have hoped that it could have gone any better. Except for three places, but, that was just a great start to the year. You know, anytime, it was such a big and bold move for me. It was important that I just got the year started off on the right foot. Obviously I wanted to do well, but, sure. I probably exceeded my, at least my acceptable expectations for that event. I just wanted to get down there and kind of, I thought that maybe there was going to be a learning curve involved with the format. And I just wanted to make sure that I had a decent tournament and didn't fall on my face. So it was definitely a good start to the year for me.
Well, for the last 18 years, you have been on the FLW tour, have done very well on that tour. Big change.
Yeah, like a 180 degree change, really. FLW was, that's where I built my career. That's where I started as a co-angler when I was in college. And as soon as I graduated college and decided to, try my hand at professional bass fishing, that's where I started. And I learned a lot with FLW, had a lot of great experiences with FLW. Like you said, 18 years, 18 years of my career, my entire career up until this point now was basically there. So, and it was, a little bittersweet to, see that come to an end. I'll miss some of the guys there. And obviously I'll still talk to some of the people, that are in that organization and other fishermen, but, it was time to turn the page. It was time to turn the page to a new chapter. And, I'm excited about that next part of my career.
You were one of just a very few that actually had an invitation from the Elite Series and from MLF.
It was definitely unique. I didn't mean to interrupt. I had an elite invite to begin with, shortly after all the dominoes started falling and the major league started issuing their invitations and a couple guys from, FLW received initial invitations and then, the league started looking for anglers to fill slots.
Right.
That they were losing and I got a phone call from them and was fortunate enough to get an invite over there, which at the time, I was really excited about. Had actually was going to accept that. I was ready to make that move from FLW to the Elites. And then, in the 11th hour, I received an invite from Major League Fishing. And so it just kind of, threw a monkey wrench into my, plans and the way I thought things were going to be going for me. That invite there definitely made me pause and I took a day or so to reflect, on how I thought each of those positions would be for me. And in the end, I made the decision to move to Major League Fishing, mainly because if you looked at the guys that were, they were already committed to go, the group of guys going really basically represented the best of professional bass fishing.
Right.
And, if those guys, believed in their heart that this thing was going to, be a huge success, then I just didn't want to miss out on it. I wanted to be a part of it. I felt like that if I didn't take it, I would regret it. And so, that's kind of what fueled my decision to make that change. But then at the same time, there was a lot of evidence, in front of, I mean, that, you know, that supported that move. I mean, it makes a lot of sense. You could definitely see the momentum that Major League Fishing had, you know, coming into this just from their, you know, their prior seasons with their TV show.
Right.
So I mean, there was a lot to, you know, there's a lot to offer. I mean, it had a lot to offer in way of sponsorship, angler control over how the, you know, the formats are and our rules. I mean, it's an angler driven league. And that's what's really cool about it is that it is driven by the 80 anglers that participate, which is definitely the first in this industry.
Speaking of sponsors and moving, you've been with Abu Garcia now for a year or so, and you made a big move and went with Berkeley.
I did. Really, really excited about that move to Berkeley. I signed with Berkeley for soft plastics as well as hard baits, and I'm super, super excited about that. I was already friends with a couple guys that were there and actually known them for, you know, quite a while, a couple of guys that managed the pro staff there. And so I'd had conversation with them, you know, off and on over the years.
Sure.
And just with them being here, somewhat local to me, you know, here out of Columbia.
Right.
It really made sense. And Berkeley, you know, I always watch, you know, as a fisherman, I always see, you know, everybody knows all the new baits that come out.
Sure.
And I knew, and this didn't just happen now, but Berkeley had made a push, you know, they started making a push to really start making baits and producing baits that were high quality, both plastic and hard bait. And so, when I had that opportunity, that was a no brainer. I mean, they made baits that I knew I could be successful with. And at the same time, you know, it's just a good fit for me with the people that were already there. So I'm really super excited about that. And then my first major league event, it's obvious. I mean, the Berkeley baits paid off for me. So it was definitely the right decision.
Good guests tend to lead you where you're going anyway. But yeah, we're going to talk about that later because you did use those Berkeley, a lot of Berkeley stuff this weekend, down in Florida, and it really did work out well for you.
Yeah, man, I did.
Falcon Boats, Evan Rude Motors, still the cream of the crop.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I did get to, you know, the way I was fishing, I probably ran less in this tournament. In this event than I ever have in any other event that I've ever fished. So I didn't get to, you know, I didn't get to put the time on my Evan Rude and Falcon that I normally do. But what little time that I did spend running, I still got my normal, compliments coming from the marshals.
Sure.
or the major league officials and the camera guys. I mean, everybody that gets in the boat always has something positive to say about it. And that's even before we start, you know, that's just when they get in it. When they get in the boat, they sit down in the seats and like, man, I really like the way this thing's laid out, or, you know, I like the way the grab handles are positioned. But I mean, I just get lots of different, you know, lots of different compliments. But the first time you take out across the lake and there's a little chop on the water, that's when their eyes get big and they're like, holy cow, you know, I never expected this boat to be able to ride that good. So, I didn't get to impress anybody with the rough water ride down here at this one. So, and that's a good thing. I'll be happy if I don't get to do that all year.
Sure.
I won't be facing any kind of rough windy conditions to fish in. But if I do happen to come across that, I know that G2 and that Falcon are going to get me where I need to go.
We're going to hit a break here, but it's funny you said that because my media boat driver on Sunday, was asking me about the Falcon and, you know, want to know more about it. And he got a kind of an up close look at it that one time we got up next to you. And he's like, dude, I got to get it. He wanted me to name off all the dealers and all, but he's going to come to the Classic and look at Falcon boats because they're going to be in Knoxville this year. So that'd be really cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Hang on, Anthony. When we come back on the other side, we're going to get into Lake Toho and the event down there a lot more detail. More Woods and Water South Carolina on the other side to break. And there is no one you can use. Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. We are talking to Major League Fishing Bass Pro Tour professional Anthony Gagliardi from Prosperity, South Carolina. We talked about, I mean, you got a great setup. Berkeley, Falcon Boats, Evan Rudy. Falcon, look, there's two. Berkeley's based there in Pure Fishing in Columbia. Falcon's in Newberry, South Carolina. South Carolina is deep in the fishing industry. You know what?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, and that's what I always try to, you know, if I have the opportunity to support somebody local, I'd much rather do that. And it's really exciting when you get an opportunity to get with a sponsor that that makes a great product, but at the same time, they're right in your backyard. And so, you know, there's several sponsors of mine that are like Murray Country.
Yeah.
Right here.
Yes.
In the Irmo area, the Palmetto State Armory down in Columbia. So, I mean, I got several sponsors that are, you know, that are what I would consider local. And to me, that makes it, you have more of a, you got a closer relationship with them.
Sure.
I mean, cause you can see them on a more regular basis and not somebody that's across the country that you only maintain contact by telephone or emails or something like that. So I just think it makes for a better, relationship when you got somebody that's around you that you can actually see and get in front of.
How close are you with those guys over at Level Rods?
I know a guy.
I absolutely love mine. It's been kind of warm up here, and I went up to local Lake Robinson here, stood on the dock, and I don't know, threw several different ones of them the other day. I threw your crankbait rod. You got a little 6'8", I think it's a 6'8" casting rod you sent me for jerk baits.
Yeah.
You got some really good rods.
Yeah, we do. I mean, you better keep staying warm like this. You better get that wacky worm rod out and ready, because that's going to be a player. But, yeah, I'm excited about our lineup right now. And, it's getting close to time to, you know, look at bringing in a new model.
Okay.
I got one in the works right now that some prototypes are being built. I usually build my own prototypes, but I wanted to fish with a prototype out at this next tournament, like Conroe. So
okay.
I'm actually getting my builder to build me a couple. And he's like 20 minutes from the lake out there.
Wow.
So I'm just going to head out to his place and pick one up and fish with it and see what I think. But, yeah, I mean, I have several models that are just, you know, so versatile and so good at, you know, multiple techniques that it's just a good ride for somebody, you know, even if they're not wanting to fish at a competitive tournament level. I mean, you can still, that's what's good about them. So you can find a rod, that will allow you to use, you know, several different techniques. And so you don't have to have a whole arsenal of rods to just to be able to go out and enjoy, you know, a nice weekend day, you know, fishing with your kids or by yourself or whoever you're going to fish with. So, we definitely have a rod that's suitable for just about anyone and anything that you want to do.
So that's the problem that kills me. I mean, we're standing there talking Saturday night, and you got the 710, and you're saying, oh, I throw a rattle trap on that, and I throw this on that, and I think it's just an all-around good rod. And see, that just, for guys like me who want an arsenal of rods, you know, it's a killer.
Well, I mean, these rods are versatile. You can get by using one rod for a lot of different things, but it sure is a lot more fun to have a collection of them.
Absolutely.
So that's just like anybody that's into guns or into anything.
Yep.
It's always more fun to have more than one.
And I'm going to grow my collection of them shortly.
I know somebody that can help you out.
Okay, I appreciate that. Let's talk about Toho. Florida Grass Lake, but MLF, every fish counts. Every fish over, what, a pound? Got to be 16 ounces?
Has to be 16 ounces.
Which changes the way you fish. Would I be right in saying that?
Yeah, I mean, to a certain extent, depending on where you are, it definitely would change the way you fish. And Florida would be at the top of the list at the places that I would think that you would fish different under that format. So many times, small fish, or even average size fish are much easier to catch down there than your bigger fish that it typically takes to, you know, to do well in a five fish limit tournament. So in those tournaments, you're only trying to get five bites if you're fishing for big ones. So you can afford to fish like that. But in an every fish counts format down there, you can do a lot of damage catching, you know, pound to pound and a half fish. And as evidenced by, you know, what I was able to do fishing the way that I did.
No, but
I never really.
You did catch one that was, what, 4 pounds or so?
Yeah, I mean, not. I mean, you can catch. It's not that I was doing something that you weren't going to catch. It's not that I was doing something you weren't going to catch big fish, but what I would say, where I was fishing, I was catching smaller fish.
And right.
Typically, maybe you would make a move after a while trying to locate and target larger fish, whereas I just decided to stay there because I'm still catching fish, and that's the name of the game.
Yeah.
But certain lakes you're going to go to, I mean, like Murray, for example, you know, if somebody told me to go out there and try to catch 20, or if they said to go out there and try to catch the five biggest you could, I'd do the exact same thing for either one. You know, so a lot of lakes, that's how it's going to be. It just so happens that in Florida, you can get on smaller fish doing some things, and you may, and that's just your approach. I mean, it's just a different strategy when it comes to an event like that.
Well, let's talk about it, because the format, the way MLF handles a day in a tournament is different. And Les, I want to go through some of this and get it from your perspective. The first thing I noticed, that there's no real blast off and race to the first spot. You guys have like 30 minutes to get to where you want to start fishing because lines go in at 7:30 on a normal tournament day. What was that like the first couple of times you went out in the morning?
It was definitely a different feeling, especially since, you know, my starting place or where I thought I was going to, that's the good thing about it. If you had a starting place, and depending on what you were looking for, it might not end up being your starting place after you scout it for a little bit before line's in. But, you know, my place that I was fishing was less than a mile or so from takeoff. So I had 30 minutes to, you know, basically just kind of cruise around and look. And that benefited me because I was looking for school and fish. And so you could use that time to, you know, ride around and look for birds. And when I did get to that place that I was going to fish, you know, I had a chance to, you know, watch the birds, you know, because the fish aren't always going to be in the exact same place they were in practice.
Okay.
So I was able to kind of position the boat and move to where I even saw fish breaking. I saw some fish break. So you just kind of, you'd move that direction. And hopefully the hope was to be, sitting in the right spot when line's in, you're in the right spot where those fish are schooling. So that was my plan. And it worked out pretty good that first day. And I remember that last 10 minutes before line's in, I was power pole down and the fish were just schooling all around the boat. And I just had to sit there and watch them, which was definitely, that was definitely a different feeling, watching those fish break and surface and not being able to cast to them until your guy counted you down, you know, from a 10-second, you know, until line's in. But it's definitely, it's cool. I mean, if you were making a long run, you can use that time to, you know, make your long run and that eat up the clock like it would typically in a normal format of tournament.
MLF is catch, weigh, and release. So there, for the first time in 18 years, you probably never turned your live oil pumps on.
I left them on empty all day. A lot of guys are joking, and that was one of the questions that some of the media at Major League asked, like, what are we going to use our live wells for now that we don't ever have to put fish in them? Some people are saying they're going to use them for coolers.
Sure.
Some people are going to throw tackle in them, they say. But it was definitely an odd feeling to have to catch your first one, and then they weigh it, and then you just let them go. I always have a hard time letting go fish after I've culled in a typical event. You know, when you catch your sixth fish and you have to reach in your live well, you take your smallest one out and release them. It's always hard for me to release that fish. It's not a good feeling to let one go because you're always afraid, well, am I sure that I counted right? And I'll look back in there and make sure that I had five before I let them go. But even still, even when you knew you had five, when you let that fish go, it's an odd feeling. So, but at the same time, I mean, you really appreciate how, you know, how beneficial that's going to be, you know, to the sport and, you know, to the resource itself. And I think it's a really cool way. You know, it's a really cool format to have. So when you catch fish that you weigh and release them right then, especially in the spring of the year, which we're coming up on, and
sure,
fish are going to be spawning and that kind of thing. So all these fish that are caught just to release, and they get to go right back to where they were, you know, for somebody else to catch on another day.
I won't call it nap time, but there were 2 15-minute breaks during the day. What, and that's probably a good and a bad thing. I know you brought out something that was bad But what do you think about the 15-minute breaks from an angler standpoint?
I loved it. I was really into the breaks. I mean, granted, if the fish were schooling all around the boat, you'd probably just assume keep on going. But yeah, most of the time, that's not going to be the case. That 15-minute break just allows you. It's a reset, basically. You get to sit down, and this thing's it's so intense that you're not going to take any time at all to drink or eat anything during those 2.5 hours of competition,
right?
You know, on the other side of the break. So it just gives you time to sit down, you know, grab a snack and something to drink. And a lot of times when we're fishing, and people that fish a lot will be familiar with this, and especially if you're fishing a tournament, you know, you think of something that you need to do, whether it's to retie a knot or some other bait that the thing would probably work, but you don't want to take the time to sit down and actually do that. That 15-minute break kind of gives you that time to sit down and make a few changes with your tackle or whatever, and retie some things, or get a new rod out of the rod box and tie something else on. So I like it. I mean, I think it was really cool. I'm glad that they've done that.
What about the penalty time? Did you spend any time in the penalty box?
Well, you know that I spent some time in the penalty box. I was in the penalty box just a couple of times. I was way below average, I think.
Yeah.
And my penalties compared to the rest of the field, and one of those penalties was intentional. But it just adds a different dynamic. To the day. I mean, it makes you pay more attention to the fish,
yeah.
Your handling of the fish, how you land it, how you release it, and so I mean, it's a good thing. I mean, people want to see you taking care, of the bass as you catch them, and whether it's for television or people watching online, that kind of forces us to set a good example for people that are watching. So I think it's great that they, have penalties for that. But there's penalties for a lot of different things. I'm sure you're probably going to ask me about one of those in a minute.
All right, man.
Yeah, I mean, it adds a dynamic to it for sure.
Well, good. Let's take a break. Bottom of the hour news and all that good stuff. When we come back, we're going to talk about Saturday and Sunday. So hang on. More Woods and Water South Carolina on the other side. Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. Today, I guess you'd say, is a recap of Major League Fishing. It was interesting. Now, this week, I got invited to be on the Angler's Channel. They had their weekly podcast, and we were all doing it from the fan and the media side. So I got to give all my what I thought about it the other night, and it's out there. If you want to go to anglerschannel.com and listen to a podcast, I think I'm on there for like 42 minutes. Now, I'm not talking the whole time. I think they liked me, but I didn't talk a whole lot. But it was a fun thing to hear the fans, some of the fan feedback. And today on the show, I figured y'all would like to hear from the angler himself. So Anthony Gagliardi is with me. We've been talking for the last couple of segments about, his history, FLW, the move to MLF. We spent the last segment talking about the MLF format. One thing we didn't talk about is lines out, Anthony. I mean, when there's no check-in at the dock, so you guys get to fish right up till the end of the day.
Yeah, I mean, and that's huge too. I mean, that enables you to really, when you're practicing, you can practice anywhere on that body of water that you want to, knowing full well that you get until that final second to fish, and you don't have to leave 30 minutes early to make sure you make it back to weigh in. So, and that's the way, I mean, that's the way it should be. I mean, if you find fish on the other side of the lake, you get to fishing for the same amount of time everybody else does. It just kind of, It really puts everyone on an even playing field, which is what they're trying to do. And that was what they want to do, the purest form of bass fishing. That's what they call it. So everybody's on as level of the field as it can be, and it's up to the individual anglers to make decisions and how they are able to catch fish. That's what it's all about, pure competition.
One thing we missed, and that is the first 4 days of competition, because MLF fishes Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. But you guys get broken into groups of 40 for Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and half of you fish Tuesday, the other half fish Wednesday. Mm-hmm. You go back as the first group and fish Thursday. The other guys that fish Wednesday get to fish Friday. What was it like having a day off in between 2 days of fishing?
It was nice. It was really nice. I mean, you didn't have to worry about, you know, after that first day of competition, you come back and we did our post game show, and you weren't rushed to get back to the hotel and redo your line or your baits. I mean, you knew you had the whole next day to do that. So, it added a little bit of relaxation that we normally, you know, typically don't get in a standard or in a normal format of tournaments. I like that for sure. And plus, I mean, if you were, let's say you happen to be fishing, something that nobody else had found, I mean, you're giving your fish a day's rest.
Sure.
By the same token, somebody on that next day could be fishing your fish and you don't know about it. And that's another, you know, and that's another dynamic that's, you know, introduced in that format, because it happened to me. It happened to a lot of guys whenever we get out there on the elimination round when guys were knocked out, and then you got guys from group A and B fishing on the same day. Then you were able, then all of a sudden there may be some people in your area that, you know, from that other group. So, and yep. That's just something that, I mean, that's just another part of it. Another part of that format. Yes. But it just makes for a good storyline, too.
Yeah, there's a little bit of Clemson, Alabama going on out there Saturday.
Yeah, there was. Me and Randy Howell were sharing some water, and we've always had a little friendly rivalry when it comes to the national championship game. Although I didn't hear from him this year. He didn't seem too keen on doing some type of Facebook bet or anything like that this year. I think he might have seen that Clemson train rolling along too well. He didn't want to enter into that this year. So I have to ask about it next time I see him.
There you go. Well, tell us about the fishing. Saturday and Sunday, I was there. Great trip down Friday night after all you guys, you and Andy and Marty, all made Saturday's fishing. Talk about what you did, some of the baits you used, and maybe how you could bring that back here in South Carolina, maybe at the same time of the year, maybe a different time of the year.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I'd – it's not so much about bringing it back to South Carolina, but I took what I did in South Carolina and brought it to Florida.
Okay.
It's really how you look at it. Now, I was fishing schooling fish, you know, for the most part, all those rounds on Lake Toho. And Saturday, the fish just didn't school quite like they had, you know, those first 2 days of my rounds.
Okay.
And they did a little bit, and I was able to catch some fish on a Berkeley Power Bait, Power Swimmer, throwing it on a Buckeye G-Man Finesse Swim Bait Head. Okay. Just casting to fish that were breaking. If the fish broke and I got a cast to them, I was just about certain I was going to get, you know, I was going to get that bite and catch them. And I did catch, you know, a number of fish Saturday doing that. But like I said, they just didn't come up and break like they had the first couple of days. So, it slipped off and it was sunny and it got really calm and the fish weren't schooling. And I switched up and went to a double rig, like, you know, guys around here call it a double fluke rig, but I was using the Berkeley Power Bait Power Jerk Shad, and I just started fishing it over that same water that I'd been fishing the first couple of days where the fish had been schooling, just fishing it fast, just like I do here, you know, on these lakes around South Carolina. And I started catching them. You know, I caught a good number of fish and a couple of pretty good fish doing that, which at the time that was saving me and it was keeping me in contention, because if it got really tough on me, now, it went a while not getting a bite. Yeah, I pulled that out and started catching again and put myself back up there in the top five or so. And then it got slow later in the afternoon and I had to move shallow, and I caught a big one on the jerk bait and a couple more on the jerk bait that kind of solidified my place in the top 10. But, pretty much, I mean, techniques that I use here, on these lakes around South Carolina is, well, I mean, that's the same thing I did down there on Saturday. And moving on to Sunday at Lake Garcia, it was a completely different type of lake. It was much shallower, a lot more cover, and just not near as much open water as you see on Toho.
Right.
And I caught the fish that I caught there. I did catch one flipping Berkeley pitfalls in a mat, punching a mat, but it wasn't until the sun got up and the fog cleared off and I got back out into the lake that I saw some fish, or I saw some beds. You know, you could see what looked like beds. And the first cast that I made at one of the light spots, I caught one on the Berkeley bottom hopper, wacky rig, just a green pumpkin, basically a green pumpkin finesse type worm, wacky rig.
Okay.
And the second light spot that I threw out, I caught one. Third light spot that I threw out, I caught one. And it just, I mean, after that, I'm just, you know, looking for light spots. And,
yeah.
And as the sun got up, I started seeing some fish and seeing some cruising fish and bedding fish. But, again, that's a technique that I use on a regular basis here on any lake, for that matter, around the country. I mean, that wacky worm, and especially that power bait. That's the first time that I fished the Berkeley power bait. And I had just gotten a lot of my baits in, or in fact, most of them, the day before I left to go down there. And so, you know, I had fished with some Berkeley baits in the past, the hollow bellies and things like that, but I had not fished that, you know, that Pro Design bottom hopper until that day. And I was just really, I was really surprised at how many bites I got on it, because I did catch a ton of fish, caught a lot of non-scorable fish as well. But, you know, probably, I would venture to say I had probably 40 bites in a couple hours on that bottom hopper fishing at wacky style.
Now you,
in those last two periods.
Now you were you had a nail weight in that. So tell us a little bit about how you're rigging that.
Yeah, I did. You know, you're rigging it wacky, and technically it's called people are going to refer to it as a Nico rig when you add the weight to the head, but you're still wacky rigging the worm just anywhere in the center, you know, anywhere from the center. And I usually go a little bit forward toward the head with my hook. Almost like if you look at a lot of plastic, you'll see what they call an egg sac on that worm. And I usually either hook it through that egg sac or slightly behind it. Okay. And then when you add the weight to the head, either just a lot of people use just a nail, some people use a tungsten insert weight, or whatever you got will work. And when you add that little bit of weight to the head, it's just going to make it, it's going to sink head first, you know, like a typical shaky head or anything like that. But yet when you pull up on it, it obviously has a different action because of where you have the worm hook. But I mean, that's a rig that can catch fish on every single lake in the country at multiple seasons of the year. So it's definitely something to make sure that you know how to use, and it's not hard to do it. You just got to do it. So I mean, just make sure you remember to try it whenever you go out and you live and catch fish doing that.
I hear you. Well, fourth place, you beat Alabama again. It's got to feel good. And you came off the lake Sunday, and I was like, "Hey, fifth place," and you were like, "Yeah, fourth place." I was like, "Oh, they got you in fifth." And he said, "Well, I caught a fish right there at the end, and your official came over, and he had certified it. You ended up in fourth place. I told you, you beat Randy by a couple of pounds, and just a great first tournament for you."
It was, it was good to, like I said earlier in the segment, it was good for me to get off to a good start. I'm not sure I think you're going to see there's going to be a lot of parity in this major league fishing, this Bass Pro Tour, because if you look at the guys fishing, any one of the 80 has potential to win. And I'm not taking away from, you know, the guys that fish FLW or fish the elites, but, anybody can go look at the standings, you know, from the FLW over the years or the elites over the years. And there's always a group of guys that kind of stand out above the rest and are typically up there in that top 20 and, you know, are making more cuts than other guys. But I think with this, you know, with this group of guys, with this 80, you're not going to see that as much. And there's going to be a lot of flip flops and there's going to be a lot of battling as the year goes on, because everybody's going to be able to catch them, and sometimes you're just not going to catch them as well as the other guys, and you're going to finish down. I think just as the year goes on, you'll see a lot of movement in the standings. But after the first one, I'd rather be in my position after the first one than on the other side of it. So at least I got one behind me and I'm in good shape. But it's going to be a battle all year for sure.
Well, it's a battle, but like you said, every fish I catch counts. And in the past years, it's been so frustrating to be able to catch fish one after the other and not make a difference.
Yeah, I mean, it keeps you engaged during the course of the day. I mean, a lot of times, let's just say you had a decent morning and you got 15 pounds, but then all of a sudden you're catching 2-pounders and they don't mean anything, and you kind of get discouraged, and you know, it's not fun. But in this thing, every time you catch a 16-ounce fish or bigger, I mean, it counts. And so it just, I mean, every bite you get, you're hoping that he's a, you know, 16-ouncer, because if you get him in, you know, it's going to count towards your total. So I think it keeps you more focused, keeps you more engaged as the day goes on. And if you lose one, you just lost whatever he weighed. You lost it. And, you know, a lot of times, even thinking back at other events that I fished, I mean, you lose a 2-pound fish or a 2.5 pounder, but you already had, you know, a good bag. It doesn't matter. It didn't cost you. But I don't care what you've got for weight. In this format, when you lose a 3-pounder, you just lost 3 pounds. And so it makes every fish just counts more. To me, it makes for better television. It makes for, you know, it makes for a better event for us. I mean, just because it's just plain more fun.
Well, off to Lake Conroe, end of this week, going to be there next week. And then Raleigh, then Chickamauga. I think MLF is supposed to release a couple more lakes here in the next week or two. It shaping up to be a pretty good year. What do you hope you finish up at the end of it? Let's have a little wager here. Where do you think you're going to end up at the end of the year, if you had to guess right now?
Standings.
Where are you going to finish?
I don't know. They're not paying. I don't think we have an angle of the year payout, so it's all for show. Right now, I mean, obviously you'd love to win it, and it would be recognized. But you know, we have the Red Crest, which is right. You know, which is the Major League Championship. They're taking the top 30, so okay. I'm not going to put a single place on it. I'm just going to tell you that I want to finish in that top 30.
Okay.
If I finish in that top 30, then I'm going to be happy with this year.
Okay. Good. Sounds good. Well, look, good luck in Conroe. Thanks for doing this for me today. Can't wait to watch a little bit of MLF Live next week. And, of course, with the elites going on, there's going to be a lot of people out there with two computers going. watching Bass Live, one watching MLF Live. Going to be a real decrease in the workforce of fishermen next week.
That's true. I just now have been able to start watching the live stream from this past one. So just to remind everybody, you can get on the Major League Fishing app or on their website and go back and watch the coverage from throughout that tournament. So if you did happen to miss it and want to see it, you can go back and catch just about every single second that happened during that event. So definitely check that out.
Very cool. Thanks, bud. Have fun. Be careful going to Texas. I'll talk to you when you come home.
All right, sounds good. Talk to you then.
Thanks, Anthony. See you. Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. I know that was a lot of fishing, but been a lot of changes in fishing over the past year. I mean, the MLF guys have been going, I think, 9 years now. I think the original started in 2011. It was a very few guys, and they kind of fished around the tournament series, the FLW and the elites. And it has always been a catch, weigh, release on the water format. And they decided they wanted to do a professional tour. And so they really just debuted this thing, I think, September of last year, maybe August. I mean, the rumor started at ICAST in July that what was going to happen, then it came to fruition. And on this podcast last night, I asked the question. I said, "Where do you think things are going?" I mean, and it came out that, look, there's a segment of our fishing community that is going to be, I want to see five fish at the weigh-in tank. That's Bass and FLW, and I think they're going to be a long-lived. I mean, the FLW with their strong, what do you want to call it, AAA class, the farm league that FLW has feeding anglers in the professional ranks, and then you got Bass has got the same thing to an extent. The MLF doesn't have that yet. I know they're talking about doing something with the farm league, but there's going to be a segment of the fishing community that loves that. There's going to be a segment of us that love the new format. And if you're like me, I'm going to be watching all three. I mean, there's one weekend where all three tournaments are fishing the same weekend. I'm going to have, I was sitting there thinking last night, okay, I got a smart TV over there. I've got my desktop and I got a laptop. The hard part is going to be which volume button do you turn up to listen to which one? So it's going to be interesting to see. Now, the elites are down on St. John's this weekend. Bass Live will be on. It won't be on after the show, but tomorrow will be on. Davey Height, Tommy Sanders, Ronnie Moore, those guys are doing a great job with that, always have. Be interesting to see, because I'm recording this early because I'm going to be in Columbia Saturday. I have a meeting with state meeting with the Quality Deer Management Association, some other things to do in Columbia Saturday. So that's why I'm saying that you can watch this stuff. So, but yeah, it's going to be interesting to see where it all falls out. I think there's room for all of them. I don't see, you know, with having to have an official in every boat, they're taking 50 officials to each tour stop. 40 of them will be active. 10 of them will be replacements. I mean, I had the guy that drove me around in my media boat was an official, and he was really cool, from Memphis, Tennessee. And Larry Brown, Larry was my boat driver on Saturday. But we're going to have a fun time. He's going to be at the Classics. So it'll be fun. He wants to take a look at Falcon boats. We're going to make that introduction and see if we can't get him in a bird. Well, let's do a calendar of events, which is always is brought to you by Visit Anderson Green Pine Landing Events. So I was talking to Neil the other day. We're going to have to get Neil up here because, man, this year is down at Green Pine is slam full of fishing tournaments. It is going to be a bumper year for you people out there that want to go, maybe are fans and want to go be there. Some of you that don't have a clue what professional fishing is all about, or high school fishing, or it's all going to be down there this year. So we're going to get Neil on, and we're going to talk about all the events coming to Green Pine Landing this year. But right now, if you were in the market for a boat, you can go to the Columbia Boat Show tomorrow. It's today and tomorrow. But at the fairgrounds there, right next to the University of South Carolina football stadium, 1200 Rosewood Drive. Admission, $8 for adults, free admission for kids 12 and under. And go check out some boats. There's a bunch of different boats out there. All the new aluminum boats, all the aluminum bass fishing boats out there. I was at the Greenville Boat Show talking to Marty Walker from Palmetto Boat Center. I said, Marty, we need to talk about boats on the show. So we're going to have that on and give you some of the pros and cons, some of the differences on all the boats out there. But if you're in the market for a boat, got the Columbia Boat Show this weekend. Are you ready to – this is always fun. I hunt a lot. But every time I go hunting, I have my binoculars and I'm easily distracted. I'll tell you that. I just love being outdoors. And I spend a lot of time, especially when I'm deer hunting, watching birds. There are so many different kinds. They're all colorful this time of the year, so it's a really good thing. And every year I go to this. It's the Great Backyard Bird Count, February 18th, 15th to the 18th. It's one of the premier birding events across the continent around the world, and they want you to be a part of it. It's launched in 1998 by Cornell Lab of Ornithology and National Audubon Society and joined by Bird Studies Canada. The Great Backyard Bird Count was the first online citizen science project to collect data about wild birds and display results in near real time. Now there are more than 160,000 people of all ages and walks of life worldwide who participate in the four-day count, but you don't have to do it for 4 days. Here's how you do it. For at least 15 minutes on one or more days of the count, February 15th, 16th, 17th, 18th, simply tally the numbers and the kinds of birds you see. You can count from any location, anywhere in the world, for those 15 minutes. And then you create a free online account to enter your checklist at ebird.org, and you can put in exactly what you see. Now, to be a bird watcher, there's two things you have to do. You've got to have a pair of binoculars. How many times do I'll add that in with the camera. A pair of binoculars is essential to this, and you need a bird ID book. So, I mean, you can get a good pair of binoculars for $100. Keep them in the house. There's always something to look at. Whether it's birds, airplanes, your next-door neighbor, whatever. But you need to. But there's 6,400 species of birds from 100 countries, 180,000 checklists. So get involved. It's fun. It can be a family thing. Sitting there for 15 minutes watching the birds for 4 days. That'd be fun. So anyway, the Great American Bird Count, the Great Backyard Bird Count. The East Cooper River Oyster Roast during Seaweed, February 15th. You can find more information there. It's the Ducks Unlimited Oyster Roast Low Country Cookout. It's happening at the same time. So a lot of things to do. I pulled up Seaweed here because I'm running out of time because it's coming up in a hurry. The 15th, 16th. So that's next weekend. Wow, is it already here? Dock Dogs, always a big part of Seaweed. There are some of the things going on. You know, all the exhibits around Charleston, three different locations, the art, the decoy dealer exhibition, art of the decoy special exhibit, animals in winter. These are some of the seminars. They have a sheep and duck herding demo. The Birds of Prey is always one of my best ones in Marion Square. Watching all the hawks and the vultures and the owls flying around and getting a real education. The Bush Wildlife Sanctuary show is in the Gilliard Center. Again, chef demos. One of the best things is the certified South Carolina grown tent in Marion Square. Go in there and find stuff that is grown right here in South Carolina. It's made into stuff you can eat. Chef demos. All this is taking place in Charleston next Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Southeastern Wildlife Exposition Center. And that does it for the calendar of events. I will be down there at some point that weekend. Got an invitation from O-Search to go back out on their boat. I'm going to try to merge the two together. It seems like I got one more thing down in the Lowcountry I've got to go to. I'm going to try to make it a big old trip down there. Pack it all in. So, as always, make time to get out there, whether it's to Seaweed, springtime hike, fishing. Just get out there. Take the back roads when you can. Don't forget the camera or the binoculars in this case. I'll be back next week with more Woods and Water, South Carolina. Hit me from behind, 'cause I'm gone to Carolina.